Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
And what we are witnessing is that a question that I want to ask you. When last have you gone to the mall? And perhaps when you did go to the mall, you've only noticed that you are perhaps shopping for a lot less things or fewer things. And of course, the size of your basket has also diminished slightly or reduced. That's the adequate word. I ask this because for many of us as South Africans, when we are around the braai, at the water cooler, even in the boardroom, we always talk about the fact that things are tough, huh? And it has been tough, quite literally for everybody of late. But it is important for us to actually understand the nuance and the detail of these numbers. What are we seeing the strain leading to? Just how tough has it been for South Africans? How are we managing our debt? And most importantly, given the most recent results we do see from some of the banks, what we are learning is that we're finding a level of resilience. Yes, it's tough, but we're making a plan. So to help us unpack this, we join on the line by Andrew Fulton, Director at 8020. Andrew, always a pleasure to speak to you, and just passed and saw you last week, right, in Cape Town.
You did at the SACS conference. It was really nice to see you. Nice to be on your show again, Gugu.
100%. It's always a pleasure to see you and speak to you and really deep dive into the numbers that you share as a research institution that helps us understand ourselves a lot better. And over the years, we've been covering much of the behavior that we do show as South Africans, and financial strain has always dominated as a headline, as a feature, in terms of our financial flexibility and performance. So are things still bad, burdened, and heavy for us?
They are. I'm almost getting tired of talking about it myself. I mean, it just seems to be the same thing we have been talking about, as you say, for years. But what we really wanted to do was try to quantify it and try to look at the metrics that kind of get thrown around and understand them fully. So that's really what we're trying to do with this piece of research.
100%. And maybe let's take a look at the most recent data. This actually does take a look at how South Africans are actually managing in terms of their credit. And of course, how this also helps us analyze where we fall into in terms of market segments. But help us understand what it is that you look at in terms of the data to understand our individual financial affordability.
Well, so we've got a credit stress report that we've been doing every quarter for a number of years. And one of the metrics that we've been looking at is installment to income, or debt to income, as some people call it. And what we realize is when we're looking at our numbers, and we obviously, ingest other people's research and see what other experts are saying in the field, we've just noticed that the terminology isn't consistent. We're pretty sure the methodology isn't consistent. So what we can say without a shadow of a doubt is that people have very high installment to income ratios. And generally higher than people would imagine. But also this other point around, we need to be consistent in how we define it. So if you say debt to income, what does that mean? And the way we look at it is by looking at installment to net income, because we feel that the net income is a better measure to use than just gross income, because a lot of people in South Africa are taxed. So it's a known amount and it comes off. And we'd rather look at that percentage as what of your take home pay, what you're paying towards the installments on your debt, mm-hmm. your formal debt.
Got you. So maybe let's just simplify that for many of us at home that are listening. So typically one would get their gross monthly income before tax. Then, of course, there's a net effect after several deductions have taken place. And then we essentially left with what we would use to pay off not only living expenses, but existing debt obligations. Would that be correct?
Yeah. So we looked at three different segments that we view. So we looked at the mass market, the middle class, and the heavy hitters. And if we look at, say, the middle class, because I mean that's the largest segment in terms of these higher debt ratios. In our calculations, the middle class starts at about sort of 15,000 rand a month. On average, they spend about 1,300. Of that towards taxes, which gives them a take-home pay of around 13,000 rand, and then 7,000 on average, once again, goes towards retail, unsecured credit, and other credits. So they're left with 6,200 rand at the end of those installments, which is basically 53% of their take-home pay is going towards this formal debt. The challenge is, out of that 6,000 remaining, they still pay school fees, they still pay groceries, electricity, fuel, rent, if they're paying rent, rates and taxes, and all sorts of other debts. So it really is, there's not a lot left when you get down to all the things you have to pay in any given month.
This is really intriguing. And as I look at the graph, it really puts things into context here that more than half of your salary, almost half of your salary, is actually going to just surviving and managing. And of course, making sure that we pay off our daily expenses. I'm intrigued, though, because unsecured credit seems to form a good 49% of income, essentially, that would be spent on debt. So it does show that retail accounts do feature other in terms of home loans and perhaps vehicle financing. But unsecured credit actually makes up quite a significant chunk here.
In the middle class, it is, yeah, and so that's going to be, you know, the short term loans you take out to. I mean, what's quite sad is you know, Finscope, a financial survey that comes out every year, the number one thing people borrow for is food, which is quite worrying to think that that's what people are borrowing for.
What are we seeing with heavy hitters?
So the heavy hitters, you know, they're in many ways in a much better situation because they started with higher salaries. So, you know, the heavy hitters started around 42,000 Rand a month. They're looking at 9,000 in taxes going to the government before they get to spend anything. And then of their remaining 33,000, they have about 22,000 in debt installments. Now, once again, they've got secured debt. So, you know, more than half of what their debt is made up of is vehicle asset finance and mortgages. So one could say, well, you know, these are more asset building debts, but it's still a significant chunk of their salary. About 11% goes towards credit card, and then 21% makes up the rest. So, you know, out of these people that are making 42,000, they're taking home closer to 10, you know, about 11,000 Rand at the end of the month. So 66% in these example that we're using of their net income is going towards installments on their loans, formal loans.
What I find so interesting, of course, is who typically makes a part of this demographic that we've analyzed in the research of heavy hitters. And it does highlight that typically skewed more to males, but also households where there's a dual income.
Yeah. And I mean, that is an interesting thing of this. I mean, the other thing we really wanted to unpack, and it brings everyone back to sort of their first year stats, or maybe their matric math, but we had to do these calculations based on median, because when you look at an average, you've got three averages, a mean, a median, and a mode. And in a very unequal country like South Africa, it's better to use the median because it's more insightful and it reflects the country. Because if you think about your listeners, if we did like the average income of your listeners, you know, we'd sum up their salaries and divide it by how many listeners you've got. So that works really well. But if you have Elon Musk as one of your listeners, he's making 1.8 trillion Rand a year. That would bring the average income of your million listeners up to about 2 million Rand a year, which is ludicrous. You know, there's no way that's the average income. But if you do the median, it's the halfway point. So that tends to be much more accurate view. So that's the way we had to do this, which once again is why, you know, whenever we do release these numbers, we do get phone calls and emails saying, you know, this can't possibly be right. And it really gets down to just understanding how the calculation is done. What was methodology? Yeah. What's included in the income and what's included in the installments?
I'm so glad you mentioned that because it does provide a lot more perspective and for many of us who are technically inclined, helps to clarify the spectrum of what it is that we're looking at in terms of the data and how it's collated. On that note, though, I'm keen to understand, looking at the overall trend in terms of the financial performance or consumer segments that we're witnessing, what does it reveal? And is it would the numbers, I guess, be comparable, especially given that we perhaps using a measure of installment to net income ratio versus the debt to income ratio?
Yeah, I mean, where I was thinking you were going with that was just what's happened over time with these installments to incomes. And the one thing we can say about that is that they've gone up because of, you know, we've got higher borrowing costs now. So, you know, the banks have to do an affordability calculation when you take out your loan, which considers your gross and your net monthly income, your living expenses, your other debt obligations. Then they make a calculation based on affordability, which in Standard Bank's case, you know, they say it shouldn't be higher than sort of 43% of installment income. But then what happens is the interest rate goes up and all of a sudden your installment's going up and you move into a much, much higher installment income percentage. Even though everything was done above board when you got the loan to begin with. add to that inflation, add to that stagnant salaries, and that's where people are getting to, where, you know, people are saying, how can you possibly have a 66% debt to income ratio? But that's how it gets there over time, and what's happened in the last 2 years.
I'm glad you highlight that, because that is exactly what we actually have witnessed over the last 2 years, given the elevated levels of interest rates as well as inflation. I'm assuming, and I'm an optimist, given where we are with the macroeconomic climate, I am certain still a lot of uncertainties, but there's a sense of cautious optimism that we could see interest rates being cut. Would this, what kind of impact, rather, would this then have on the metrics we're discussing tonight?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm always an Afro-optimist. I mean, I love this country. I think it's got such huge potential. And you know, what I've seen is, I think the elections really made people sit up and go, wait a second, you know, things could be different. You know, we've seen that there's, looks like there's very likely to be interest rate cuts by the end of the year. You know, if the unemployment can remain, you know, not getting worse, perhaps it'll even improve a little bit. I'm really hoping that the resilience of this country is going to come out, and we are looking towards a better future in the near term. Certainly from where we've came, I mean, it literally couldn't have been worse than May of last year. So it's a hole we're digging out of, but I'm positive that things are going to slowly get better.
Definitely. Let's certainly remain positive and optimistic, because there's far-reaching ripple effects here. How the retail sector performs, how shopping centers witness an increase in foot traffic, how the banks see the health of consumers. So it's really does have a ripple effect on giving us better insight into the economy or economic activity, right?
Yeah. And I think the more people that speak positively, you know, if you think about the stock exchange, it's based on greed or fear, and maybe not so much greed, but maybe more positive optimism than fear. And if we can get that into the society, who knows where we'll go.
Definitely. Always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Such a delight hearing some of this insight, and it gives us a real reality of understanding where we are as South African consumers.
Thanks a lot, Gugu. Hope you have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Much appreciated, Andrew. That's Andrew Fulton, director at 8020. Now, 8020 is a leading consumer insight and data science firm, essentially providing highlights into our behavior as South Africans, whether it's in the consumer segment, our spending, and of course, what it is that we tend to do with our money.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.